the bread of life before us, the Word of God, the person of Jesus the Christ. We come to Him to be fed in our spirits. God is good, and all the time. Are you sure about that this morning? Sound a little sleepy. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let it slide. But I want to greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. If you're a visitor with us, we especially extend that welcome to you. You are always welcome in this place. And we encourage you, if you'd like to know more about our church, you can fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. I want to thank you also for allowing me to be away last weekend. We had a wonderful Boy Scout trip to the USS Yorktown in Charleston and spent the weekend there. And praise the Lord, they did have air conditioning, but it was a good experience for the children who were involved in that. This Sunday, and we'll say more in a moment, we also want to acknowledge our youth and those adult chaperones who are away on the mission trip. And the many of our congregation who are out traveling this week, enjoying their summer vacation, we should also remember them in prayer for travel mercies also. Today, as we worship, we invite you to tune your hearts and minds to the Spirit of the living God. do not take it for granted as we worship that the Spirit is with us, around us, and within us.
Our opening scripture this morning is from the Old Testament, the 85th Psalm. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardoned all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let us hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for your presence in this place. We call on your name in this hour of worship, asking that you would open our hearts and our minds not only to your presence, but to your message for us, as you speak to us through song, through scripture, through prayer, through silence, through preaching, and through the faces of the others around us. We ask, O Lord, that you would touch us deeply, stir us, pick us up spiritually like an old rug, shaking off all the dust, all the dirt, all the debris of life, of a week lived hard, shake it all away, all the distractions, all the worries, all the fears and fretting over the week to come. Place us down softly at the foot of the cross, so that when we leave this place today, we might never be the same. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. Would you join us now and stand, if you are able, as we sing our hymn of praise, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. It's number 8 in your hymnals.
Thank you.
my wife left me to go on the mission trip, as did some other spouses of other folks in the church. And we wanted to take our ministry highlight, even though they're not here with us to hear it, but to acknowledge what they're doing and where they're going. They've gone on the youth retreat, but it's also a mission trip to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And you see in your bulletin there the names of all those youth, and there are many, who've traveled so far, as well as the adults. And what I'm always impressed about teenagers is how willing they are that when the call is given to go, they go. How quick they are to say yes when they are asked to volunteer. And how ready they are to share the gospel fearlessly. And I often wonder, what is it about us that the older we get, the more timid we are in our faith, the more reluctant we are to go, and the less likely we are to share. So we should celebrate what they're doing. And I want to encourage you, since they are not here this morning, that when they come back next Sunday and you see the teenagers and you see these adults who also went, make sure you say something. Make sure you acknowledge that. I can think back to days as a teenager and coming back from mission trip and how much it meant to have an adult in the church acknowledge and say, I'm proud of you, or thank you for going and representing not only Jesus Christ, but our church as well. So let's lift them up together even now as they are out in the world and in the wild today sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you bow with me? Lord, thank you for our youth. Thank you for our adult leaders and chaperones. Thank you for our associate pastor, David. And thank you for all of them who are willing to go and make disciples. Bless them and bless their works that they might be fruitful. Protect them as they travel and as they engage with strangers. And Lord, we pray also for what they are learning this week in the Bible studies, in the lessons, and in the prayer times, that they might come back and share with us and transform us and energize us who are here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. At this time, I want to invite our children to join me here on the steps for our children's time. Children, would you come? I'll be right with you. Just give me a second. There's a Pikachu over here. There it is. Anybody know what I'm doing? Pokemon Go. You know, you love that game, don't you? I've actually never played Pokemon. So probably the first step in playing Pokemon would be to actually download the Pokemon app. I just got my camera phone out. I'm taking pictures of strange-looking creatures here. Three of them. Well, there's one that's high. He's shy. But you've heard of this game. You probably never played it, or maybe you have. But have you ever seen anybody playing this game? How about adults in the room? Raise your hand if you have no idea what I'm talking about. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Bless you. You're probably better off. Though I think there's some good things about it. But Pokemon Go is that game where you're supposed to, you get a message of some sort that tells you that in this area here, somewhere near you, using Google Maps, there is a Pokemon. And you have to use your phone and follow around until you see it. And then I'm not really sure what happens next. Something about catching it. Something about hatching eggs. I'm sure you know all about it. You can explain it to me later. David tried to explain it to us in staff meeting. It just kind of went over my head. But it's a game where Pokemon says go, and you go, and you try to catch these little creatures that you can only see through your phone. Now, I got some news for you. That game sounds fun, and I think that there's nothing wrong with it, but Pokemon isn't the only one who said go. And I think we ought to remember that, too. Who else in the Bible said, go ye therefore? Who remembers? Anybody know? We know Pokemon said go. Who said go in the Bible? How about?
Jesus.
Jesus. That's always a safe answer. Jesus said, go. He said, first of all, he told his disciples that he would make them fishers of men. Or as one translation puts it, you will catch people. He says, go out and you'll catch people. Now, he doesn't mean put a worm on a hook and hope that U.S. will bite it. No, of course not. He means you'll go out and show the love of Jesus to other people, tell them about God's love, and bring them to God's presence. Bring them to Jesus so that they can have Jesus in their life too. Jesus, the last thing he said, he was crucified. You know that part. Then what happened? He was buried. Did he stay in the tomb? Right. He didn't stay in the tomb. He rose on the third day. He spent some time with his disciples. And then you know what he did? He started floating up higher and higher. And as he was going back up into heaven, the last thing he told his disciples was go. He says, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He told his disciples to teach those people everything that he taught them. And then he said, and I'm going to be with you always, even to the very end of the world. So I want you to remember, as school is getting closer and closer, and while you're out at camps, and while you're out at pool parties and birthday parties, while you're spending time with your friends, that God has called us to go and tell people about Jesus. Our youth are doing that right now. They heard the call from God to go to Myrtle Beach. And guess what they did? They went. So when God calls you, go. Let's pray and ask God to help us do that, okay? Dear God, help us to go when you call us, to go where you send us, and to tell others about Jesus and his love. It's in his name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen.
We continue to worship this morning with our offertory hymn, We Give Thee But Thine Own, number 609, verses 1 and 2.
Master, all that we have is not ours. It belongs to you. We come now to return to you what is rightfully yours. We come to make gifts and offerings and sacrifices from the blessings you have bestowed on us. And then with joyful hearts, we give thee but thine own. Amen.
to our time of confession and pastoral prayer, we offer you some silence so that in that silence you might make your confession to the Lord. Would you bow with me? God, it is hard sometimes to keep our eyes on your calling. It is not easy to go. It is not easy to proclaim. Our knees shake sometimes at the thought. We're not really worried that anyone's going to throw stones at us or put us in jail, though some in the world face that. We're just worried people might think badly of us, or might think we're extreme, or weird, or strange. We worry it might affect our job, or career, or our sales. We worry it might hinder our relationships, or make someone feel uncomfortable, or make us feel uncomfortable. We confess, Lord, that it is not easy for us. You've given us a great commission, not a little one, a great one. We trust in your mercy. We know you look upon us with love, even when we fall short. And your mercy is sufficient. And we feel the strength in that mercy and in that grace, and pray, Lord, that you would give us a second chance, a third chance, a thousandth chance to get it right. We pray you not give up on us. And in that grace and mercy, we pray also for others. We ask you not give up on them. Not give up on those who are lost and turned around. Not give up on those who are hurting and broken. Not give up on those who are afraid. Some even afraid to leave their homes. We pray for your mercy and grace on all those on our church prayer list. And even those who are not listed that you know of. Some of us in this very room, quietly desperate, struggling silently. Heal those as well. And give them the courage to come forward and speak truthfully about their hurts and struggles. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. We invite you to hear again from the words of Scripture. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily. And you have come to the fullness in Him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In Him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with Him in the baptism, you were also raised with Him through faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. God always blesses the reading and the hearing of His Word. Thank you. Pokemon Go. It's one of those things that, first of all, I would say I see a lot of bashing of this on social media. People tweet about it and post things on Facebook about how ridiculous it is. I'm not in that camp because I've seen some good things about it. First of all, it's the first time I've ever seen technology get people off the couch and out of the house and actually moving about in the world. I've seen it bring families together, believe it or not, as they do it together. And maybe they haven't done anything together in years, but they'll do this. I've also seen it create friendships. People meet each other that they would never meet otherwise. They meet up. It's the nature of the way this game is set up, is everybody who's playing gets the same information. So random strangers are converging on light posts in the middle of the historic district to take a picture of an imaginary creature. But what it has taught me as I've been watching this phenomenon build and build and build is that people can get very excited about something. And they can get very energized and enthusiastic about going and chasing after something and catching something and grabbing hold of something and being a part of something that's much bigger than they are. That's the appeal of it. And that's also the part that does trouble me. That we can find in our society those who are longing for those things we receive through life as a believer, as a disciple, and as a part of a faith community. That would that we could see that same level of energy and enthusiasm and passion about being a part of this thing that's so much bigger than us and going out and connecting with people that we would never connect with and building relationships. And ultimately, if we want to take it back to the Great Commission and to being fishers of people, making disciples, being witness. As I've thought about this concept of witness, or to just use the word evangelism, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others, and thinking about the lack of that. I mean, how many of us are really out there proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ? Not just doing nice things, but actually telling other people about Jesus. I mean, I'll be the first to confess, I'm not a very good evangelist. I've got a bit of a handicap. That's one thing I can, in my self-defense, because when I make a new friend, the moment they ask me, so what do you do for a living? And I say, I'm a pastor. Well, doors close. They get defensive. They get scared. But that's no real excuse. We all are called to go and make disciples. And as I've wrestled with that concept, God has really directed me to a strange source of Scripture. It's an odd place to go. And it's odd because as I grew up hearing this passage preached or taught in Sunday school or Bible studies, I heard a message that doesn't really have anything to do with evangelism or sharing the gospel. And yet I can't get away from this passage. And I'm discovering more and more as I look at this passage, maybe it's not saying what I always was told it was saying. And maybe I need to forget everything I've ever believed about this passage and heard about it and step back and not simply repeat what was repeated to someone who was simply repeating what they heard about what this passage means and to look at it with fresh eyes. I invite you to do that with me. It's in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Jesus gives this wonderful parable about a neighbor in need. He says in verse 5, and he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence,
He will get up and give him whatever he needs. Think about, just stopping there, the brilliance of this analogy that Jesus is making. Picture this scene. It's a Middle Eastern culture. It's the first century. It's a dangerous world, a dark world. There are no street lamps. It is very dark at night. And midnight is no time to be knocking on your neighbor's door. That fact hasn't changed much, has it? How would you feel if you suddenly heard, "Hey, I need some bread. I've got relatives. I've got a friend who's come to visit me. Open the door. I need some bread to feed them. I have no bread. And while you're at it, a cup of sugar, maybe?" No. They have barred the door, locked it, sealed it, closed themselves in to their little fortification of a home. And now, in the second level, they are all gathered in one room, sleeping comfortably, relaxed. But the pounding, the knocking, the persistence, the pestering, it just won't stop. "I need bread. Give me bread." It reminds me of the kid that we have all seen in the grocery store saying, "Mama, mama, 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 mama." After five mamas, most mamas' heads blow up. But Jesus says, you know, this neighbor wouldn't give bread to him even because he was his friend. This compassion's just not there. He's not going to go downstairs, unbar the door, light lamps, wake his children up in the middle of the night, some of them who may not be able to go back to sleep. He's not going to do all that just because he's his friend. But why will he do it? Because of the pestering, the knocking, the persistence. Upstairs, he realizes, this is not going to stop until I go down there and give this man some bread. Jesus says that this is how it is with our Heavenly Father. He says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You know what Jesus is really saying here is, look, you are all kind of rotten. I mean, we all feel like we're pretty good people, but just get caught in a traffic jam for 10 minutes too many and we'll find out how rotten we are. Just let someone cut in line in front of us at the grocery store and we'll find out how rotten we are. Just ride through the bad part of town and the thoughts that come to our mind reveal how rotten we can be. But Jesus is saying, even though you're kind of rotten, you're not going to give a kid a scorpion. You're not horrible. You're not going to give some kid a snake. You're not going to be passing out the poisoned apples to the kiddies. You'll give the good gift. You'll give the best that you possibly can to the child. That's just human nature. That's just the compassion in our hearts. And Jesus says, how much more so will your Father give? Likewise, going back to that analogy of the neighbor knocking at the door, he's like, look, the way we are designed, the way we're wired, we're not going to be happy with that person, are we? We're not going to like them at all. And even though they might be our, quote, friend, that's not why we're going to go and give them what's right, what's good. It's going to be because they just keep pestering us. But Jesus' point is that your Father doesn't think like that. He loves you. Oh, how He loves you. And will give you the bread out of love, not because He's annoyed. Now, why go to this passage to talk about the Great Commission?
I have always heard it taught. I've always heard it preached. I've always heard Bible study lessons that this passage is about God answering prayer. It's about me coming to God, and it says, ask and you will receive. Just pray in faith and in obedience, and God will answer your prayers. Just seek the truth. That's another famous sermon off of this. Just seek the truth, and you will find the truth. Seek what you're looking for, the answers, and God will give you the answers. Or this sermon you've heard, knock on the door, and the doors of opportunity will open for you. God will just open the door that you need to go through. All you have to do is knock. But in reality, when I look at this passage again, guess what I realize? That I have been wrong my whole life. That this is not the key to the cosmic Santa Claus list. That this is not about the supernatural Make-A-Wish Foundation. That this is about something else altogether. And to unlock the key of what this passage is really about, what is Jesus really getting to? Fast forward to the last paragraph of his high school paper. What's his conclusion? What's the climax of this whole message? Where are you going with this? Something you ask every Sunday when I'm preaching, right? And the last line that Jesus says is, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Ask for the Spirit, and you will receive the Spirit. Seek the Spirit, and you will find the Spirit. Knock on the Spirit's door, and the Spirit will open the door to you. It's about receiving or gaining access to the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. And why do we need the Spirit? What is the Spirit? He's already told us. It's the bread. That was the analogy, wasn't it? Seeking bread in the night. The Spirit is the bread. Or to put it in spiritual terms, the bread of life. We seek the Spirit so that the Spirit might connect us with the bread of life, who is Jesus, Messiah, Jesus the Christ. We ask for the Spirit so that the Spirit might give us the very presence of the bread of life within us. Or to put it another way, so that we might embody Jesus. Why? Well, the New Testament is full of reasons why we need to embody Jesus, isn't it? The New Testament is full of reasons why we need to have the Spirit grant us access to Jesus. There's saving reasons, for one. But where Jesus is going with this is somewhere very different, and it's found here in this analogy. Who is the person knocking? It's the friend, the neighbor. Knocking, asking for the bread of life. Asking for the Spirit to embody Jesus within him. If we're thinking spiritually. Why? Not for himself. It has nothing to do with him. He's not asking for the bread so that he can be filled. He's not seeking the bread of life for his own selfish gain. Why? Because he's got this friend who's shown up in the middle of the night, who's hungry, who's lost, who's dead tired of wandering around in the darkness, and he doesn't have anything to offer him, and so he calls up and says, please give me the bread of life so that I can feed my friend. He's hungry, he's hurting, he's lost, he's tired, he's broken. And he's come to me for some reason. He's come to me. I don't know why. But he's at my doorstep, and I don't have anything to give him. Give me the bread of life that I might feed my friend. We have all had those friends that show up at our door in the middle of the night. We don't know why they came to us for help. We don't know why they're sharing their problems or their concerns or why they're talking about their failed marriage to us or why they're talking about their depression to us or why they're talking about how lost they feel, but they've shown up in the deepest, darkest moment of the night, and they're hungry, and they're just tired of it. Tired of making bad decisions, tired of feeling like they don't know which way to go, tired of feeling like they have no purpose. And they've come to you. And Jesus is saying, seek the Spirit for them. Ask for the bread of life for them. Have something to offer them. Knock on that door of life for them. When I look at the news and I see everything that's going on in our nation these days, I see the violence, the murder, the hate, the division. I see the political contention and just the nastiness of it all and how it's deteriorated. And I see how much fear and hate speech there is. And just every time you pick up the paper, there is something awful. And we say this over and over again. What's wrong with our world? It's not those things. That's like the flu. Coughing, sneezing, fever, aching. That's not what's wrong. It's that something has infected the body. When I look at our world, our nation, and see all of that, I see spiritual starvation. And what Jesus is asking us to do is this. Ask for the bread. Seek the bread. Knock on the door of the bread. And take the bread and feed this starving nation. Would you pray with me? May it be so, living God, that you would stir us to go and seek this. Not for ourselves only, but for those neighbors, for those friends in need. And teach us to pray for this very world. Teach us to seek, ask, and knock for those in need of gospel, of grace, of life to the full. This is our prayer. Amen. We invite you now to respond to God's word as you have heard it and received it. As we sing together, take the name of Jesus with you. It's hymn number 576. We'll sing together verses 1, 2, and 3. If you're able, would you please stand?
God, it is said that the gospel is one beggar showing another beggar where to find food. We pray that you would lead us, beggars seeking life, hands full of bread, to go out into a world that is starving and give them life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.